2 Kings chapter number 6. A bit of an unusual text to take for a missions message, but I see a great example of missions here in this text, and I believe we would be wise to learn some things from this text. And you pray for me that I can convey this the way I feel it in my heart, the way I understand it through study. It'll come out that way. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number, we'll begin reading in verse number 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it. He's talking about Syria here. He besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, hold on. We need to stop and just lay some groundwork. Some of y'all gagged at haggis. There was a famine in the land. Everybody know what a famine is? They ain't got no food, all right? It's been cut off. Place has been besieged. They have squelched them of any source of food. And the Bible says, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. That's 80 pieces of silver. What was they doing with this donkey's head? They ate it. And Brother Burke, I love you, but if that's what's on the menu tonight, I got a Skyline card over at house. And any of y'all want to, y'all welcome to join me. I'm just not that hungry. I am not hungry enough to eat donkey head. I'll eat. There ain't much I won't eat. I have eaten a lot of strange things. We've talked about some things on Marco Polo. Different ones have had different things. I heard donkey, but I didn't hear donkey's head. I don't think anybody... Have you had donkey's head? Yeah, you ain't been that hungry either. That gets me. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. I don't think I need explanation on that. Y'all understand? That's about what they tell me. That's about a quart of that stuff. I like ranch dressing. But if we run out, I ain't looking for this option. Alright, maybe it pairs well with donkey's head. I don't know. But I ain't interested. Amen. Amen. But they're doing this because there's a famine. There's a famine in the land. So it's caused them to do some things that were uncommon. It says, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And I love his sarcasm. I don't like the situation, but I love his sarcasm. You say, sarcasm ain't in the Bible. You tell me after we read this. He said, if the Lord did not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? There's a famine in the land. There's nothing in the barn floor. There's nothing in the wine press. He said, how you want me to help you? There's nothing that I can do to help. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him, and he shall, and she hath hid her son. Things are rough. They're not just doing uncommon things, they're doing some ungodly things. You know why the world is doing the things that the world's doing? There's a famine in the land. They're lacking preaching. It breaks my heart to see the state of this world, but it breaks my heart. Can I just be real honest with you tonight, real transparent with you and real plain with you? It breaks my heart to see the state of so many independent, used to be Bible-believing Baptist churches in this land. And the change they've taken away from this book. Away from preaching. They got puppet shows and they got pantomimes and they got everything else. But what we need is preaching. God help us to have more preaching and against puppet shows and against activities. But what we need is preaching. That's what gets the job done. There's a famine in the land. That's why this world's acting so ungodly. That's why they're doing uncommon things. That's why they're flaunting their sin before all, is because there's a famine in the land of preaching. God help us. It's a famine. This famine has created a problem, a serious problem. Look with me in chapter number 2. Or not chapter 2, I'm so sorry. Chapter 7. Just next chapter, chapter 7, verse number 1. Then Elijah said, he's talking to the messenger of the king now. The king has sent a messenger to the man of God to say, hey, this needs to be fixed. I'm tired of this, and I'm going to have your head. That's in essence what's going on. And Elijah's comment, his response to the king and to the messenger is, says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand against little L Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Thank God for a man of God with a message. In a time of famine, in a time of danger, thank God for a man of God with a message. That's what we need today. We need men of God with a message. Not men of God with political motive, not men of God with ulterior motives, but a man of God with a message. A message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. That's the message that we need preached. We need men of God with that message to preach across the land. Thank God for a man of God. It's a simple plan. Simple plan. Can I say to you this evening, the gospel is a simple plan? So many overcomplicate it. They overthink it, and there's a lot in Scripture that you could say, well, what about this, what about that? But when it comes to salvation, salvation's a simple plan. Salvation is this simply. Christ died to save sinners. Amen? Christ, who is God, always has been God, always will be God, died on an old rugged cross for your sins and mine. Was buried, and 3 days later, of His own power, because He is God, raised Himself from the dead. Amen. You say, but the Bible says God hath raised Him from the dead. He did, but they're both God. Amen. 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 He is God. Amen. Any religious quack that tells you differently, the Bible says, let him be accursed. If he preached to you any other gospel, let him be accursed. Can I put it in Georgia terms, and I ain't changing Scripture? Don't be offended with me. Let him go to hell. You say, I don't like that. That's what that means. Let him be accursed. Am I right, preacher? The gospel is simple, and we don't need to overcomplicate it and add in and change. That's where cults come from. That's what we're dealing with in these foreign countries. It's having to refute and repair the damage done by cults who have added to the message of the gospel. The gospel's simple. That Christ died to save sinners. That Christ was buried, crucified, buried, risen the 3rd day. The gospel is this, is that if you will repent of your sins, trust Christ as Lord and Savior, you can be saved. Simple. That's not complicated. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. Apparently you don't know who Christ is. It's not about what you've done, it's about what He's done. And if you'll put your faith and trust in that, it don't matter what you've done. Amen. Amen. A simple plan. The man of God preached a simple plan. He said, this time tomorrow. He didn't give details. Can you imagine hearing that message? A donkey's head being sold to eat. Dove's dung is being sold by the court. And the preacher said, tomorrow, we're going to be able to buy bread for pennies? Come on. That's too good to be true. It can't be that simple. Oh, but it is. Because God's got a plan. God's doing a work that you and I don't always see, we don't always know about. God's doing some things that you may not be able to figure out, but I thank God this plan is simple. And the details are up to the Lord. Look with me in verse number 3. And there were four leprous men. Man, if you read that story and then stopped right there, and there were four leprous men, you're thinking, man, this thing's really getting bad. At the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? It had gotten so bad, the lepers are saying, you know what, we don't have anything to lose anymore. God, help us that we would see sinners say, you know what, I don't have anything else to lose. I've tried it all. I'll come to that addictions program. I'll come to church with you. I'll ride the bus with you. Why sit we here until we die? He said, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine in the city, then we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. But they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. When they come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. You understand what's going on? Are you following this? These leprous men, knowing there's a famine within the gates, they're having to sit without the gate, on the outside of the city. So there ain't no food for us in there. They're talking among themselves, and somebody says, don't sit here and die. Let's go to the Syrians. Maybe they'll take us in. Good. Maybe they kill us. We're dying anyway. What have we got to lose? Let's just go. I say let us have some sinners that way, but wonder what it would do if we had some Christians that way. What have I got to lose in serving Jesus? What have I got to lose when it comes to being involved in the work of God? If I sit here, I'll die. If I go over there, I'm going to die. Let's go to the uttermost part. Let's go to folks that we wouldn't typically go to and give them the gospel. Let's see what God might do. So they got up. I don't know what twilight means to you, but I think probably in the evening time. They went to the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the most part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again into the other tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. They're enjoying the comforts. You remember this morning we talked about the comforts? These lepers. Can I put it this way? These rejects of society. We're enjoying the comforts. Now I look out, and as far as I know, I'm looking out at a saved group of folks. But you know what you're looking at? See, I know me. I know what I come from. You're looking at a reject. I had nothing to offer. I had nothing to give. I said, why not? Just try and serve God. You know what these men had a problem with? Their flesh. You know what you and I, if we're honest this morning, this evening, what we got a problem with? Our flesh. Who we talk about this morning, Lazarus, what he had a problem with? His flesh. God used him. Ain't you glad this evening that God uses people who have a problem with their flesh? We don't deserve to be used. There's nothing about us that's desirous to say, I want to use that. But God in His infinite mercy. If I was 600 pounds lighter, I'd run. God in His grace and mercy says, I want to use that. When God looks at you, He says, I want to use that. He knows what you've done. He knows who you are. He knows your background. He knows all about you, and He desires to use you. These men, I wish I could preach it the way I feel it. It says, we do not well. Verse 9, this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Have you held your peace? Have you kept quiet about the gospel? If the gospel be hid, who's it hid to? The lost. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. They said, we can't wait any longer. We've squandered, we've wasted too much time. We got to tell somebody. I know it's a cliche. I know we've used it. I know you've heard it a million times. But I'm glad God uses nobodies to tell everybody about a somebody who'll save everybody. Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. I thank God that we get to carry the glorious gospel to a lost and dying world. I'm thankful tonight that God uses broken and seemingly useless people to serve in His purpose to spread the gospel. Boy, if you ever get a hold of the truth that God uses you and desires to use you, you'll quit saying, well, I can't do that. I struggled for over a year. Now, just be real honest, I struggled for a year after God called me to Scotland with, have you heard how I talk? God, I'm from the deep south. I'm from the backwoods of Georgia. They're not going to understand me. I'm not going to understand them. God, I can't. Or there's others. And I'd pray and I'd name men. I'd name men that I knew that spoke eloquently. So God, use them. Call them to Scotland. I can't do it. God wouldn't let go.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad He didn't. He said, if we don't go, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on to serve God? I don't think, and I don't want to come across that I'm promoting that everybody in here needs to pack your bags tonight and go be a missionary in a foreign land. That's not what I'm saying. But God's got a work for you to do. Are you doing the work that God wants you to do to its fullest? Are you busy sitting making excuses and enjoying the comforts? You better get busy. Maybe some mischief come upon you. If God can use four leprous men, if we read on in the text, they called in verse 10, they called the porter of the city and told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians." They told the story of what happened. Verse 13, the servant answered and said, "Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city." Why did they remain? They've been eating them. Wasn't the five left? "Behold, they are all as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. Let us send and see." Let's just go and see if this thing's true. I'm reminded the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." If you can ever get a sinner to agree with you to just, "I'm going to try it," it will change their life. It'll change their life. He said, "Let's just go and see." The Bible says in verse 16, "And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria.' And the Lord answered the man of God and said, 'Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof.' So it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died." You really got two options when it comes to serving God. Get busy doing it, or get out of the way. That ain't me trying to be harsh. But this man didn't believe. He questioned everything the man of God said. "Pastor, there's people, they've heard you preach on missions. They've been to missions conference, and they come because it's their church, and it's just..." But I would say, and I hope I'm wrong in this. I hope I'm wrong in the statement I'm about to make. But knowing Baptists like I know Baptists, there's some that say, I don't believe that works. I don't know. I don't know about this faith promise missions. I'll just give when I feel like it. You like that plan so much, how about going to your work tomorrow and say, "Hey, boss, look, just pay me when you feel like it." You know you don't believe that. It's an excuse. The Bible's very clear about this thing of missions. It's a simple plan for a serious problem. But what I love is God's supernatural provision in answering the problem. Supporting missions around the world, getting the gospel around the world. When I look at it and do the math, it's impossible. It is not possible. One of you young men right there, y'all mind helping me? Just for a minute, one of these three young men sitting right here, would either three of y'all help me just for a minute? I promise not to hurt you too bad. Come here, buddy. I may have done this illustration here once before, but it's all right. Climb up here on the platform just for a moment. Right there. Come right here. You just go for a piggyback ride. All right, hop on. I won't drop you. I know that's a big cow. It ain't even a horse. That's cow size right there. You ever wanted to ride a bull? There you go. Y'all know what I am? Thank you. I said it. The illustration starts to taint when you don't set it up right. Missionary. Good one. Bad one. You know who that's up to? Me. I'm a missionary. You know what this young man represents? Church. You realize the missionaries you support, they're carrying you. Everywhere a missionary goes, everything a missionary does, every person a missionary witnesses to, gives a gospel to, every message he preaches, God sees it just like you're the one doing it. Right there. You good? Sent you up there a little higher. Come on. A missionary worth his salt carries you with joy. He's excited to be partnered with you. Excited that he gets to carry you and represent you on the mission field. That's a joy. You good? You all right?
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad, was it? Don't say that yet. Come here. Stand on that first step. Stand right there. Grab my leg, man. It's my turn. Turnabout's fair play. Ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Y'all know that, don't you?
Amen.
He in the school? Is he in the school here?
Yeah,
you're going to learn about economics one day and find out there's no such thing as a free lunch. You've got to earn your keep. You don't get free rides. Missionary. Church. Whose responsibility is it to carry the missionary? Church. But you know what? Hard as he might, and I believe he would have tried if I'd have jumped on. I believe he'd have tried. He would have been seriously injured. But he would have tried. He can't do it by himself. You know why he can't do it by himself? The burden's too great. It's too much. Thank you, buddy. When the faith promise cards are taken up, y'all taking them up Sunday? You know who it's going to take to supply the needs of the missionaries y'all support? Everybody. It'd be easy to sit there and say, well, your old brother so-and-so got that good paying job. And old sister so-and-so, she just sold her house. They can handle it. I got bills to pay. I got groceries I got to put on my table. Rents due. They went up on my rent. I gotta have gas to get back for it. I can't afford. Give the missions. You can't afford not to. You may never see the results here, but there's coming a day. What you're investing, you're going to get to see the dividends on. You're going to get to see the return. You can keep it to yourself, but you do not well. You do not well. You can hide it. You can keep it. You can enjoy the benefits of it for yourself, but you're not going to do well. There's a famine in the land. The answer to the famine is preaching. Well, let's just be real plain. It cost. it cost. I don't know what it cost in Russia to live. Well, y'all got figures on that. I'm putting you on the spot. Cheaper than here?
Yeah, it's cheaper here, but normal.
It's more than $50 a month, though, ain't it? More than $100 a month? Full rent, ain't? Yeah. What we getting at? I put him on the spot. That wasn't fair. I guarantee you one thing, he'll have that answer next time he's asked. You ask him that tomorrow night, he'll say, this much. The fact is, you probably ain't got, and I ain't trying to assume that I know what your business. How many missionaries y'all support, preacher? 27. Now, unless you're really doing good, and I hope you are, you probably ain't got $50 or $100 a month yourself for each of those missionaries that you can put into missions. Be a blessing. But what you might have is you might have a dollar or 10 or 20. Maybe you've got 100. I don't know what you got. I'm throwing numbers out there. But you got something. This morning we preached on praying for the missionaries. You can give to your missionaries and never pray for them. But you cannot pray for your missionaries and never give to them. It don't work. If God can use four leprous men in a time of famine, what can He do with able-bodied me and you? What can God do with us? If we'll just say, why sit we here until we die? Nothing wrong with having things and having fine things. I think you ought to have the best that you can afford. You ought to. You work hard. You make sacrifice. You ought to have the best, the finest house, the finest car, and eat the best steak you can afford. I think you ought to do that. But if we neglect the gospel, if we live in comfort while others die and go to hell, what has it profited us? What good's it done? Somebody needs to go and get the message across the land. Somebody needs to take the message where the famine is. Amen. You're blessed here at this church. There's not a famine of preaching. Thank God for that. And because of that, that ought to cause you to say somebody else, somewhere else, needs to hear the message that I've heard. The two groups of people that I personally believe more desirous of missions than anybody else. This individual just went to hell. We established that this morning. And that man or woman who just got saved. You remember when you first got saved? Boy, my sisters hung up on me. I called my nephews. And I said, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Started the conversation, not hello. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what the preacher told me. I didn't know verses. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16 to you when I got saved. But I knew what had happened to me. I knew why I had to be saved. Man, if I know why I need to be saved, I can tell them why they need to be saved. I know what happened to me when I got saved. I can tell them what happened to them if they get saved. I told everybody. Everybody I came across, 13 years old, I told everybody I came across. I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't embarrassed. I just wanted people to be saved. Then time come along. A couple of rejections. Couple of folks not interested. A couple of well-meaning preachers. Can't do that. Need to have some tact. They meant well. But over time, not quite as zealous, not quite as bold, because over time I somehow forgot there was a famine in the land. Somehow I forgot that the world needed what I had. Somehow I let it go out of my mind that people were really dying and going to hell. Somehow I let it get out of my mind that people really needed to be saved. I didn't tell them like I used to. Thank God, God will stir in you and work in you again and revive that in you. We need that. Mission conference, mission revival, whatever we call it, we need to be revived. This thing needs to be real to us again. When it gets real to us again, we'll say, look, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in that sin. You don't have to have donkey head. That don't have to be part of your life. Let me tell you about Jesus. I found a man. Better part is he found me. Amen. He found you. Now we get to tell others about Him. We get to tell others where they can find the bread. We get to tell others where they can find plenty. But if we don't, they'll continue with their uncommon ways, their ungodly ways. It's real easy to say, oh, they ought not do that. I can't believe. Are we live streaming, I guess? I'm going to be careful. I won't get you kicked off Facebook. It's real easy to say, well, I can't believe them sodomites. Can't believe how vile they are. Well, I can't believe these abortionists and how vile they are. I can't believe, you name the sin. You giving them the gospel? Then quit complaining. If you're not doing anything about it other than griping about them on Facebook, social media, and to your friends, you have forfeited your right. When you know what will change them and you don't tell them, oh, but you don't know. I do know. I got two lesbian nieces. And I love them, and it breaks my heart to see what they have chose to do. And it is a choice. They weren't born that way. Breaks my heart to see it. And I can get angry and say, I'm not going to spend any time with you. You won't be around my family. I'm not... And go on and shut them out, or I can give them the gospel. I ain't saying coddle them. You understand me? You need to know me a little bit better and you'll understand I'm not for coddling them. But I am for loving them enough to give them the truth of the gospel that will set them free. I heard a lost man on a video. Y'all know who Penn and Teller is? Is it Penn, the one that says he's either a tall one? Said a man gave him a Bible. I don't know who the man was, don't know nothing about the man. But the man gave Penn a Bible, and if you know anything about Penn and Teller, you know they're an ungodly crew. But he made the statement, talking about that man giving a Bible, he said, how much do you have to hate someone to not warn them about hell? That was hard preaching from a lost man. We can shout love and I care, and as a Christian we ought to love, and we can say all that, but unless we are giving people the gospel, what we're showing them is we hate you. We don't care enough about you to open a Bible and tell you how to be saved. So, preacher, I'm not comfortable going verse by verse. If you're saved, you got a testimony. You have a testimony. Tell them what happened to you. If they got more questions, take them to the preacher. Amen? That's simple. That's not a hard thing. God, help us not be so quick to judge the world. The world's going to be judged. God has judged the world. He's going to judge the world. And I'm not one of these, I don't want to come across, and I have to be careful now because there's so many folks have twisted truth into this don't judge me business. You won't find that in Scripture. Not in the context they're using it. But you know what I expect lost people to do? Ungodliness. Uncommon things. But you know what I expect God's people to do? Preach the gospel. You expect every missionary you support to preach the gospel, and you ought to. But can I tell you, from your missionaries, and I don't know them all, and I try not to speak for other people, but I feel like I've got the liberty to do that. Amen. They want you to preach the gospel.
Amen.
They expect you to.
Okay. Right.
I ain't a missionary just to soothe your conscience. Say, well, we support Brother Hodden in Scotland. Y'all support Brother Clow up in the north of Scotland. He's up there with them crazy folks up in the north of Scotland. Wild folks. Step off into that and that won't be good. Y'all support Brother Gossmeyer way down in the south of England. Support the Cashners? Yeah. Y'all's desperate. I say that because I hope he watches, especially Kimmy. No. You don't support them to soothe your conscience. Say, well, we're reaching the UK. I don't know if you support anybody else in the UK. The Grissoms. You were really desperate. Just a little. Hey, Brother Wayne. You ain't supporting these missionaries around the world just to say, well, I'm at ease because I've done my job. We expect you to be doing the same thing here. We expect when you go into work, you don't rob from your boss and take time from your boss, but when given the opportunity, you give the gospel to your coworkers. We expect that. We expect if anybody of you here go to a secular school, we expect when you go to your school that you give the gospel as you can, not taking away and distracting from your teachers and the lesson being taught, but we expect you to give the gospel. We expect when you're at family events that you look for an opportunity within your family to give the gospel. We expect that your mailman has been given the gospel. Can I meddle? Preacher, can I meddle? Don't give the mailman the gospel while he's delivering a bunch of late notices to your house. I ask for one thing at the beginning, amen or oh me. Whichever one fits, that's a good place for it. Clear your bills up. Amen? That's a good thing to do. Pay your bills. But give the gospel. You ought to have a good testimony that folks would hear you. The Bible talks about a preacher within qualifications of a preacher. It says that he must have a good report of them which are without. That's a pretty good qualification for all preachers. Amen? Every one of you. Every missionary in here, it's a good qualification. Have a good report of them. They're not going to hear you if you don't have a good testimony. They're not going to hear me in Scotland if I don't have a good testimony. Amen? There's some things that are expected. None of this last little bit was really part of the message, so that's free. That just added on. Who would have thought we'd gone to 2 Kings and found a perfect picture of missions? You know why? Because you can about find any, well, you can. You can find anywhere in this book is a picture of missions. You know why? It's the heartbeat of God. And if it ever becomes our heartbeat, if it ever really becomes our heartbeat, I hear people say I'm mission-minded. I understand what I'm saying. I'm not against that. God helps us to be mission-hearted.
Amen.
I forget a lot of things. But when it's in here, don't forget about it. My wife's watching, and I'm going to be in trouble. It's y'all's fault. At least that's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to be the one to go back to see her, so I get to tell the story first.
If I take a moment, I can remember other girlfriends. But there's been one that I've thought about all week. She's at Orchard House, Kelton, Castle Douglas, Scotland, DG71SE. That's where she lives. She got my heartbeat. I'm ginger-hearted. I can think about some others, but they ain't in here. Know why so many forget about missions? It ain't in here. If it ever gets in here, boy, you'll say, God, I know you put this amount on my heart to give, but I sure do want to do more. God, I know you got me here in Goshen, but Lord, I want to do more. You know why we're scared to pray that way? We're afraid God will hear us. Y'all say, well, I was hoping you'd ask that. He may never ask you to go anywhere else, but are you willing to? He may let you sit and enjoy the spoils of the Syrians, but he won't let you sit there long without putting in your heart to share with somebody else. What are you doing for the cause of Christ? I'm sure it's something. But are you content with where you are? Or do you desire that God would use you to do more? Choice is yours. Sit outside the gate, know there's a famine, complain about the famine, or get up and do something. Even if it turns out to not be the thing you're supposed to do, do something. I ain't talking about getting wickedness. When Ginger and I got married, I'll be done, preacher. There's watermelon out there. Amen. Ginger and I got married. I had a heart for Scotland. I had a burden for Scotland. I desired to go to Scotland. 19 years old, just married, and a well-meaning preacher said, if I had a heart like that for Scotland, I'd quit my job tomorrow and go. I was 19. Ain't nothing wrong with a 19-year-old going to mission field. That's a good thing. But this 19-year-old was stupid. I didn't go and say, Brother Burke, I didn't go and say, I want to go to Scotland and I'm going to work. I need to earn money so my family has somewhere to live. My new bride. We'd been married 3 months. I started deputation. The worst time I had spent in my life was on those deputation months because I got ahead of God. I desired to do something, and I said, why am I sitting here? I got up and did something. It was the wrong thing at the time. What I'm saying to you is do something. Don't sit. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm comfortable where I am. Do something. And there's no telling what God might do. There's no telling who God might use. But all He wants is you be available. God's not looking for great ability, just availability. Make yourself available to God. See what God will do.